sales win rates have plummeted to a mere 17%, and outdated technology and tedious manual processes are to blame. Meanwhile, managers lack the visibility they need to hold their teams accountable. But imagine a world in which these crippling issues are solved automatically. Revenue.io automates the most frustrating parts of sales so reps can focus on what they do best, selling. Completely automate pre-call research, logging conversation data in your CRM, writing post-conversation recap emails, and prioritized outreach. And as reps book more meetings and close more deals, managers gain the real-time insight they need to scale what's working across their entire team. Ready to say goodbye to tedious sales processes and watch your win rate soar? Head over to revenue.io to learn more.
I don't need to see all of the very personal living situations that people are in.
Oh, come on. Aren't you curious?
No, I'm not. I want to stay blind and have a beautiful image in my mind. I like the blank wall. I like the office setting. But you know what I like least is cans and dirty dishes in the background.
Hi, friends. Welcome to the Sales Enablement Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Paul. Now, that was my friend and erstwhile co-host, Bridget Gleason, and she's the head of sales at Tidelift. And Bridget's joining me today on Sales Enablement, episode 790, to talk about, well, a broad range of interesting topics. Bridget and I are going to talk about what SDRs and AEs should be doing right now, today, to prepare themselves for an uncertain future in sales. We'll also dive into how to improve how we onboard new sellers and continuously upskill our more veteran salespeople. It's a compelling conversation, so be sure to stick around for the whole thing. Now, before we get to Bridget, I want to remind you to subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to it. And if you subscribe, we'd certainly appreciate it if you could give us your feedback about how we're doing in the form of a review. And if you haven't already connected with me on LinkedIn, please do. That's at linkedin.com/in/realandypaul. All right, let's jump into it. Bridget, welcome back to the show.
Andy, great to be back.
Yeah. So I've lost track of how many episodes this is that you've joined me on, over 100. So
I know. It makes me feel old.
It makes you feel old?
Old. So many. Old but honored. Honored but old.
Well, it's nice to be old and honored.
That's true.
Respect for your elders.
That's true. That's right.
I have respect for my elders.
That's right. I like it.
So what's new in your world with everybody working remotely? And first of all, how's that going? I mean, everybody staying healthy, sane?
Well, we've been a remote company. So working remotely isn't new to us. So that part isn't new. But having a lot of our customers and prospects remote has obviously disrupted things, mm-hmm. as for everybody. I would say, though, so far everybody's healthy, spirits are good. You know, it starts to take a toll, but I think all in all, you know, we're taking it day at a time. And I think healthy, spirits good, starting to look like spring here in Boston. So that's nice. We can get outside, even with face masks. We can get outside.
Now, I forgot if I asked you before. Are you running with your mask on?
I am running. I don't have my mask on. Okay. I wear a neck gaiter that can be pulled up. So if I go early and I don't usually see anybody, but if I see somebody, I can always pull it up. But I'm not running with a mask on.
Okay. Yeah, I was out a couple of days ago, and I hadn't been running since the shutdown. I've been riding my Peloton a lot inside the apartment, but went out and did a short run wearing the mask, and it was harder. It was like, running at altitude.
Yeah, it's harder. It's just, it's not very comfortable. But, you know, if I go early enough that I haven't had to worry about it too much.
Yeah, you're out 4:30 in the morning or 5:30 in the morning, some crazy time like that.
Yeah, I'm usually up at 4:30, up by 5:30.
Jeez Louise.
I know, it's crazy. It's crazy. You've known that.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed.
I mean, I don't mind running early. It's just, I usually like it to be light.
Yeah, there's something about, like, pitch black isn't as fun, but there's something about still a little bit dark and the sun coming up that just feels good. Like I've gotten a jump on the day and it's still quiet. There's something about that solitude that I really, really appreciate. Because the rest of my day isn't.
It isn't for anybody, I think, now. It's everybody's wall-to-wall Zoom meetings these days.
Oh, I know. And it's funny, Andy, because we've always been remote. But it seems like how can I have more Zoom meetings? I guess that's possible because I was able to go in person to certain meetings, which I'm not doing anymore. So that's
so how big is your sales team?
Got about 15 people total on the team, sales team.
But you don't have any one place where you've got a concentration of people? They're all geographically dispersed.
Yeah, we do have a concentration in Boston. So I had, most of the time I was going into a co-working space where we are. Everybody doesn't go there every day, but we have a place where we can go, which is great to get the team or a good number of the team together. But we're geographically dispersed as well.
So question for you from a management standpoint, coaching standpoint, so on, is this whole thing, is COVID thing, is probably going to disrupt some careers in sales. And I was thinking, if you were advising, let's say someone in a more of an entry-level SDR role right now, what advice would you give them about how to prepare themselves for what comes next?
What do you mean?
The environment's going to be different. I mean, it's we don't know what it's going to be necessarily, but I can project we're going to have more permanent, or may have perhaps more permanent element of work from home, work remote, certainly more virtual stuff. It's hard to see what's going to happen relative to field sales. I know you guys don't really do much of that, but field sales coming back. But I just wonder, do you think like there's a different or enhanced skill set people are going to need in the long run to be successful in those roles?
Yeah, it's a really, really good question. And again, because we've been remote and we do actually have a field team, we're selling to very large regulated industries. So we do have a field team as well. I think there's the communication is going to need to be different. We're going to need to be able to create connection and trust and relationship virtually better than we have before. So I think that's one.
And I agree on that, by the way. I think that we're going to have to be, use the word communication. We're going to have to become, I don't know, more precise maybe. Is the word in how we communicate. It was really a fascinating article there I read in the New York Times this week about, or I made the tail end of last week about, they're always doing research on the impact Zoom is having on the quality of conversations people are having. And it was interesting because I was talking about, if you're trying to communicate in a meaningful way, that actually Zoom presents some disadvantages compared to being on the phone. Certainly, then, and disadvantages that don't exist when you're meeting face to face. And talking about just the way the signal's processed, and it sort of smooths out some facial cues and social cues we might otherwise pick up on in conversations, and that has an impact on how effectively we communicate.
Yeah, I read that article. I found that interesting, Andy. I never thought I would feel this way, but there was a day last week when I thought, let's just bring back the conference call with no video and everybody on their phones and the Polycom. Can we please bring that back? Like, I never thought I would want that back. But you're right. There's something about Zoom, as that article had pointed out, that make the cues, they distort them somewhat, that I think is difficult. There's also some things that when I'm in a professional setting, I don't need to see all of the very personal living situations that people are in. I don't need to see.
Oh, come on. Aren't you curious?
No, I'm not. I want to stay blind and have a beautiful image in my mind. I like the blank wall. I like the office setting. I think the Zoom backgrounds are a lifesaver.
I don't like the shadowing and stuff that goes on, though.
I don't either. Well, I don't. But you know what I like least is cans and dirty dishes in the background.
Well, yeah.
Maybe because I'm a neat freak. So I get distracted by the backgrounds. This says a lot more about me than the other person.
Well, now, does this bother you more with the customer, or if you're talking about one of your sales team? See, then it could be like a coachable moment for your sales team.
Oh, I'm way past you there. Like, yes. I've already said blank wall or background. Those are your two choices. But we're not seeing, I don't want to see family members and dogs in the background. Like, let's just keep it neutral. I know, so it's terrible.
Game to see a dog. I mean,
what's that?
I'm always game to see a dog. But I saw this video that was actually my wife and I saw it on TV last night. As some woman was on a Zoom call or a FaceTime call of some sort for business. And her husband, who could be generously described as overweight, comes out wearing a fake grass skirt and a Samoan headdress and sort of semi hula dancing in the background, and she's sort of completely unaware that he's doing it for about 10 seconds, and he's shirtless, and I thought that was funny.
That is fantastic. Now for internal calls, I don't mind. Like internal calls, pets and dogs and kids and family and backgrounds, I don't mind at all. Like I don't mind it for us internally at all.
Oh, so the standard was what your reps need to have when they're talking to the customers.
Right.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. If it's us internal, no, we should be able to bring our full selves to the company. I just think when we're interfacing externally, we're sending all kinds of signals that we may not want to be sending. And I don't know enough, Andy, to know what those signals are saying. Mm-hmm. So it's best to just be quiet and not send them blank background.
Better safe than sorry.
You don't know what they're saying. And I don't have time to go figure it out.
Well, I think we could make certain assumptions that if you're calling a new prospect and you've got dirty dishes in the sink behind you that are noticeable, then that they're certainly going to pick up on that.
Yeah, well, yes, but I don't know what that would, I don't know what message that would send to whoever the receiver is. Like, I'm on calls and we're talking to people that are working at big banks and other financial institutions and healthcare, like big companies. And I'm sometimes a little surprised
Customer. They're the customer.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. So it's okay when it comes that way. But I guess I'm recognizing my own surprise. And I think, okay, but they're the customer. They can do whatever they want. We're the seller. So we've got to be a little bit more careful. Andy, even if I mean, most days I have calls with customers at some point during the day, but even on the rare days that I don't, I get dressed every morning as if I'm going to walk into an office. The only thing I don't do, although I may start, is I don't wear the shoes that I would wear. That's the only, that's
leave
the
heels
thing.
Off. Yeah.
I know, but you know what? I started to miss them as part of the, I don't know, it as part of the routine, as part of the way that I signal to myself, I'm going to work. And I go and I work my day. I only work in one part of my, I'm in a condo in Boston, only one part of my apartment. Mm-hmm. And I only work in that one place. And when I'm done, I put everything away. I change my clothes and I go into a different mode. I even have a different computer that I use for work and that I use for personal. And so when I'm done, close up the work computer. And mm-hmm. you know, I can get everything on all my computers, everything, because we are in the digital world. But it's signals that, because I really, for my own sanity, I try not to let work bleed any more like than it has. Like give it its space. And then
yeah, well, the boundaries have definitely been blurred during this period.
Yeah, and we were remote before. That's what's sort of interesting. But it's just when the rest of the world is blurred as well, it's created sort of a different experience, I would say.
So are you finding connection rates on calls different than before? You know, during normal times now, they're different now than they were before?
I should have my BDR manager look into that, because I think the answer, is yes, but I'm not sure, because we still get a lot of communication that happens Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's always been the case, but, and we're not calling people on Sunday night, but they'll respond to a LinkedIn request or an email, or that's when they're kind of checking for the next,
right.
For
the planning, next planning the week. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think that's always been the case. It may be more, maybe less now. I don't know.
Yeah. We'd had a session last week with Jeff Shelton, who's vice president of product and sort of lead data scientist at RingDNA, about this. And yeah, the analysis has been of our data is that, yeah, connection rates are actually up during this period. We're not exactly sure why yet, but just sort of aggregate basis, and up for all types of titles.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I wonder, you know, that people are, they're at their computer and mm-hmm. they're near their phone. They just are.
Mm-hmm.
They're not in a conference. They're not out of town. They're not traveling. They're not on vacation. They're there. They're not in a meeting. They're not down the hall. They're not at the water cooler.
Yeah, I mean, the connection rates are sort of interesting. They're sort of, the curves are sort of, again, we were making assumptions about causes for a lot of this, but it's almost looks like a sort of track to, like, especially if somebody's at home with kids, track to the school day, you know, the in-home school day, that, yeah, once the kids are got seated in front of the computer, then people answer their phones more. And then sort of 2 o'clock, yeah, not so much anymore. But it seemed like it shifted earlier. So if parents were taking kids to school, and then, you know, not getting to the office till a little bit later because it dropped kids off at school and so on. Actually, we're sort of recommending that reps sort of start their day earlier to catch that earlier wave, because it definitely was an earlier wave of availability.
Hmm. Yeah, it's I had forgotten about that influence, that schools being closed definitely disrupts kind of the working cadence that had been in place.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine having done this when your kids were young?
No.
I mean, trying to sell and manage groups, people, and have kids at home and so on.
No, and you know what, Andy, I didn't. It's so, as you know, and I've shared my story before, but I was a single mom mm-hmm. with my kids from since they were 1 and 3. So it wasn't like I was, you know, it was a walk in the park for me. It was tough, but this seems harder. I don't know why. This just seemed, this sure. seems harder.
Well, if you're a single mom, I mean, and yeah, I mean, teachers are trying their best, but I mean, you know, part of the reason we send the kids to the classroom, I think they get socialized, but also the teacher has some semblance of control and ability to focus them. But if they're at home, you can't imagine the kids are distracted and parents are one of the distractions. And yeah, it's got to be, as I'm glad I'm past that stage, but it's got to be tough, especially, I said, if you're working accounts, managing a team, whatever. Yeah, very, it's very unpredictable. So kudos to those people who are making that work.
And I think, Andy, just when you had asked earlier about, you know, BDRs, SDRs, what's just looking out to the future, what should they like be thinking about? I think at least for the next several years, we have to think about how to better accommodate the human mm-hmm. element of selling. You and I have talked about it a lot, how important it is. And I think now it's even more important because we're all feeling it. People are stressed, they're anxious, they're worried, they're, you know, they've got perhaps kids at home. And so how do you strike this balance of being sort of empathetic to that and acknowledging that and still continuing to move things forward? I think it's a different kind of skill. And I think the reps that are able to develop that and be sensitive around that, that is something that will serve them well.
Oh, I agree. I was assuming you were going to ask me my opinion on that. And that was number one on my list is never before. I mean, think about it. Has it been so obvious that you actually share a common ground with the people you're talking with, right? I mean, we're also, we haven't, maybe the 2008 recession, but people aren't working from home and so on. Here's a shared experience for basically everybody you're going to talk to. And so in terms of establishing that basic connection, as you said, displaying empathy, well, it's not a matter of putting yourself in their shoes. It's a matter of saying, I have empathy because I understand why you feel the way you do because I'm feeling it myself.
And Andy, so one of the reasons I don't ask you the question, because you're used to me asking you the questions, but now because we've done so many of these, I can just answer the question for you. So then I don't even have to ask, and then I can just sort of sit here and have a conversation with myself, like me True. Playing you, me playing me, me playing you, me playing me.
We'll do that sometime.
That'll really put everybody to sleep.
That's good radio, like, yes.
It's good, yeah, bedtime. But your point, that nuance around that is so, God, I wish I had said that. That you're right. We're always looking for connection. And here in this time, we know we have a common ground. We have it. They know we have it. We know we have it. And so being able just to experience, you know, figure out how to experience that is a skill.
Yeah. Well, and don't be afraid to bring it up. That's the thing that I was talking to a couple reps individually a couple weeks ago. It's sort of like, well, yeah, everybody's talking about it. It's sort of been done. It's like, no. Just now is the time. You know, learn how to identify these areas of common ground that enable you to connect on this human level that starts everything, right? Absent that connection, you're not going to go anywhere with this buyer. They may talk to you, but they're not going to buy from you. This is a perfect time to learn the lesson about how we identify those points of commonality that we can use to establish the connection.
Well, and important to get used to talking about things that are either uncomfortable or feel awkward, mm-hmm. You know, that's also a good skill, is how do you bring up things that you may feel awkward talking about?
Yeah, the vulnerability, excuse me, as I muddle my words here. But yeah, that whole idea about things you're uncomfortable with. Get comfortable if you can sharing them, because this, again, that unlocks so much in terms of the connection you can make with someone. It's a key to unlocking the ability to build trust with someone, is that they see that you're human and they share things with you.
And last I checked, Andy, we are still selling to humans.
Mm-hmm.
You may say B2B, but it's still H2H.
Yeah. Well, and I think more so than ever, to your point you might made before, because, and I know we don't have a ton of time here to get into it, but just sort of raise it, as interesting seeing statistics, government statistics over the weekend about how economic productivity and how it really peaked in the early 2000s, our growth rate of productivity as an economy. And this is a Paul Krugman article, Nobel Prize winning economist, talking about how the impact of IT tech driven productivity, we sort of passed the peak of that. Mm. And that, you know, the impact of adding more tech to increase productivity, it's not showing the benefits. And so it's fairly stark differences in productivity growth right now. We're about 1.5% per year. And 15, he made the point, it's 15, 20 years ago, people forecasted that, hey, it was still going to be at 3, 4, 5% a year because we're continuing to, you know, innovate in tech, but it hasn't happened. And so if you're relying on tech in sales to help you, you know, take that next step up, that's probably not what's going to do it for you. What's going to do it for you is your ability to be more human and connect and have empathy and vulnerability and build trust. That's still more powerful than any new tool you can use.
Definitely. And it's helpful for your internal communications with other people that you're going to need, other stakeholders, mm-hmm. around the sale. That's important. Gaining consensus and having people help you and just getting the resources you need internally. And then as well as just the interaction with prospects and customers.
Yeah, well, in another episode, we'll talk about this idea of team that you brought up, because it's so important. And we've talked about some in the past, but I just want to keep coming back to it because, yeah, whatever you accomplish as in sales, you do as a member of a team. And to your point precisely about your ability to build those relationships with people on your side, are as important oftentimes as building with the customers.
If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
Oh, perfect.
African proverb.
Okay. Oh, good. I like that.
That's my latest. Okay. That's my gift to you.
All right. Thank you. Well, we'll wrap up with that today. So, Bridget, tell people how they can connect with you.
At Bridget Gleason on Twitter and my LinkedIn profile, Bridget Gleason. Very easy.
All right. Well, Bridget, thank you as always for joining. We'll look forward to doing it again shortly.
Sounds great. Thanks, Andy.
Okay, friends, that's it for this episode. First of all, I want to thank you for taking the time to listen. So grateful for your support of this show. And I want to thank my friend, Bridget Gleason, for sharing her insights with us today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to this podcast, Sales Enablement with Andy Paul, on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to this podcast. And if you could also leave us a rating or a review and let us know how we're doing, we'd appreciate it. You can do that all on your phone in less than a minute as soon as this podcast is over. So thanks for your help. And thank you so much also for investing your time with us today. Until next time, I'm your host, Andy Paul. Good selling, everyone.
Hey, sales strategists. At Revenue.io, we're not just imagining the future of sales. We're building it. We offer the world's most complete platform for revenue teams, and we're featured in the most recent Forrester Waves for both sales engagement and conversation intelligence. With Revenue.io, you can slash call prep time to seconds, guide your reps in real time to have more successful conversations, and after calls, we generate ready-to-send recap emails so sellers can keep deals soaring toward the finish line at light speed. See the future of sales now at Revenue.io.